Odd Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hey, welcome on in. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. It is a great Thursday because it is the start of the NFL season. Jake Plummer is on today's show. And Jake's going to be with us every week as he was last year. And we're going to just talk nothing but college football with Jake today. So I've done Peter this week. I've done Fabiano this week. I've done John Lynch this week. We've done a ton of NFL. We have not done very much on the college end. And we're Arizona-centric. Things that we see around the state, on the college, pro, high school level, that are of interest to us. So Jake Plummer will come up here in a few minutes. And can Todd Graham get this thing turned around after one game? What a disaster it was. I was talking to some ASU people last night, and they said, man, you've got to move on. Well, no. I'm sorry. When you play as poorly as they played on the offensive front, the next 2 weeks we're going to hear a lot of, we think we've got it solved. The same thing with special teams, although I'm not so sure on that front. I'm pretty certain that Cal Poly, which is a agriculture school, one of my best friends went there to work on learning how to fix sprinklers and cows and all that stuff. You know, that's what Cal Poly is. They're not a football school. And then they have New Mexico the following week. New Mexico is not what I would say a football juggernaut. Brian Urlacher is not there anymore. So Stoney Case is not there anymore. So it's not like this game is something that you look at the next 2 weeks. And by the way, the New Mexico game's on a Friday night, which don't start taking over high school football. Don't start taking Friday nights away. Next 2 weeks are not going to really tell me much on the offensive front before they play USC and UCLA. People say, oh, that's really unfair of you. You should be more supportive. No, I shouldn't. I'm just merely pointing out. I get grumpy when people are like, boy, you're so hard on them. I don't know. They've won 10 games each of the last 2 years. They're in a major fundraising mode for their stadium. They've raised prices for people to go see the product. They've talked about how this program is the best and at this level that they want to be at and aspire to be at. And Todd's great about that. Todd sells the program better than anybody's ever sold it. But when you do that, you can't turn it around and say, why are you being so hard on us? I don't know, because you guys are the ones that are talking about how great the product is. Can't have it both ways. Not that simple. So yeah, I've been a little put off. I don't know. And, you know, I was talking to Eric down at the, when he got back from the game at Texas A&M, just about the atmosphere and all that stuff. And it may not have been as bad as it looked on television in all aspects. Sometimes you can watch a game on TV and not see some things that happen on the sidelines or during the game and some adjustments. And maybe it wasn't as bad, but look, if they sit there and stumble around with Cal Poly in New Mexico the next 2 weeks, what am I supposed to think when they play USC? Because I think they're a better team than SC.
It's funny, Brad. It sort of reminded me a little bit of when we went to the ASU-Missouri game, the very first year that Todd Graham was here.
Yeah.
And after the game, he, I don't know, kind of threw his offensive coordinator at the time, Mike Norvell, under the bus.
Kind of.
And Saturday, totally. Saturday it wasn't that drastic.
Yeah.
But you could tell he was very disappointed with how the offense couldn't make the in-game adjustments after halftime to kind of slow down A&M's pass rush.
So I'm going to make a fearless prediction, all right, based on what I saw this last weekend at Texas A&M.
And my camera's broken, so if you're watching it right now on the stream, you can only hear me. I'm clearly not the voice of God, but I'm
no,
I'm
no, you are. In this operation, you are.
I don't know.
You are the voice of God.
With a cold, I sound a little bit deeper and more hoarse.
Yeah. So Kyle Allen, and this may make the Allen family very unhappy, and this may make Kyle very unhappy, but in my opinion, Kyle Allen will not finish his college football career at Texas A&M. In my opinion, there's going to come a point where Arizona State's going to become an option for him, even with all these guys that are there. I'm just saying, just sometimes you just look at things and you see things and you just say, all right, I'm not saying that's happening this week or this month or this January, or just going to be an option. Because there's no way Kyler Murray's not going to be the guy down there. Gosh almighty, they're just talking him up all over the place. So we'll see. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports here today. The Diamondbacks last night, they beat the Giants 2-1. And so they take 2 of 3 from the Giants. I was at the ballpark the other night. There's still a good buzz around that team. There is still a good feel around what the squad is doing down there this late into the season. And it's very encouraging. So there's that on my mind today. Obviously, the NFL season starts tonight, but it doesn't start here in Arizona until Sunday. And look, the Cardinals, in my view, should be able to take care of business and beat the New Orleans Saints. I think the Cardinals' schedule the first 2 weeks, if you look at New Orleans and Chicago right out of the gate, and I don't go week three, week four. I'm not going to do wins and losses today. Eric and I had done that enough. But when you come out with the Saints, and they're not the team that they once were, the only way I think the Saints come out and win this game is if they just come after Carson Palmer like he's never been after, and that Rob Ryan comes after him in a big way and the rest of that Saints defense. Because Drew Brees is not the quarterback that he once was. Now, Cameron Jordan, I don't know if you guys heard about the story with Cameron Jordan. He's been he was out at a club, and he was disrespecting a woman, according to the boyfriend of the woman, and slapped her on the behind. It was not Cameron Jordan's girlfriend. It was a guy's woman, slapped her on the behind. Jealous boyfriend. I can have any B I want is what Cameron Jordan said to him, according to the woman and the guy. Now, the attorneys for Cameron Jordan are saying, well, this is ridiculous. He would never say this. Bring this up. It's former Chandler High guy. This complaining individual is apparently a jealous boyfriend who followed Mr. Jordan into the men's bathroom, the attorney said. Mr. Jordan did not commit any criminal offense whatsoever, continues to remain cooperative with any law enforcement inquiry into the situation. As attorneys for Cam Jordan are investigating, reveals that there is no criminal misconduct committed by Mr. Jordan. So there's always three sides to the story on this one. So something happened. I don't know. Did he just walk in there and I'm going to go target him and I'm going to throw his name under the bus? It's just another distraction. It's another distraction. But the Saints are beat up in their secondary. The Saints are beat up at running back. Yeah, the Cardinals' offensive line is not anything to be overly excited about at this point, coming into the start of the season. But for me, it's a game they win. Come on, let's not sit here. I don't need to analyze Earl Wofford. I don't need to go through the Bobby Massey stuff here. It's kind of like the questions about Darryl Washington. Please stop sending them to me. I don't care. He's not here. He's not walking through the door. And I don't know, last time I checked, they need people to walk through the door that can play on the offensive front as a cohesive unit. It's really interesting. It's the week of the game and I'm getting Darryl Washington emails. I don't care. Call me guilty. The Steelers and Patriots play tonight. This game should set unbelievable ratings numbers. Simply because Tom Brady has been in every bit of the news cycle on every channel other than sports channels. And so the fascination with Tom Brady, because people on MSNBC and Fox News and CNN have been talking about him, places that people on, Fox Business Channel, places where people don't really watch sports. Hardcore guys, you guys that are hardcore, you're going to watch that tonight. But people that have lives and they have more than just football on their mind 24/7, those are the people that the NFL strives to go get. And those are the people that are going to watch tonight. This could not be better for the NFL, in particular with the stories that came out earlier this week about some of the internal emails. The ESPN did a really good piece on internal emails in regards to Deflategate. And things that happened in the past. So this is, you would hope on opening night that the attention would be all about football, but I think the league has just turned into something. Even me today, I'm sitting here talking about Cameron Jordan off the field stuff. On the field, I think that this is a year that we should be looking at a football team that plays into January, not just in the regular season, because they will, but plays deep into the regular season. And if they don't, then it's a very disappointing year, in my view. Very disappointing year, because this team has talked a very good game of getting themselves in a position to play, that there are no excuses, that there is a window of opportunity. We've talked all about this. And that Carson's window, as Carson plays, I don't know if Matt Barkley is the guy that 3 years from now can lead this team to the playoffs. I don't know that, or if Drew Stanton is. I don't know if the guy is even here. But if you go into this year thinking they're just an 8-8 team, I think you're selling the hometown team short. Jake Plummer is going to join us on the other side. So I'm going to talk with Jake about what's gone on with ASU, because is there a reason to be concerned after they got punched in the face, got punked on the field, and now they've got a couple of games that really they're playing against themselves. We'll talk with Jake Plummer. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Jake Plummer joins us now for a couple of minutes as we get off and running with ASU down 0-1 on the season, U of A up a game on the season. Let's start there first. Pac-12 Network analyst hat, Jake. Arizona State's offensive line couldn't any way, shape, or form handle Texas A&M. What did you make out of the Devils in trying to keep Mike Bercovici alive last Saturday?
Well, it was hard to watch as a quarterback. I mean, you know, it's always easy to point the finger at the O-line when your QB's not able to stand back there and throw. But I think Burko showed some fight, you know, the kind you like from your starting quarterback. He wasn't over there complaining or crying about it. He's trying to go out there and make plays. And not a very great environment for any left tackle, really, especially one making his first start against Myles Garrett. I mean, that guy's a beast. Definitely going to be playing on Sundays. And I don't think they're going to see anybody quite like him the rest of the year. So, you know, that's a good sign to get that, kind of get beat, exposed a little bit. Now, you know, Evan Goodman knows what he's got to do in order to do his job right. And I think Burko will be appreciative of not having to face anybody like that again.
Okay, so is it more about the A&M side? And you look at Cal Poly, New Mexico, the next 2 weeks. I've just said on the air flat out, it's not about who they line up against the next 2 weeks. They got to figure out their offensive line before they meet USC or UCLA. They haven't lost a game in the conference. It's not the end of the world. But can you get this offensive line straightened out?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, people will forget that they were in a neutral site, supposedly, but it was still in Houston, close to A&M, and I think a lot of the fans there made it hard. It was loud. And anytime you're in an environment like that, and you might be a little slow off the ball. And I think that's what happened. And I think, you know, we'll see what can happen when they're at home and on the snap count. And, mm-hmm. you know, if anything, it was a good wake-up call for the left tackle there to have that happen. Now he can he got beat. He got beat quite a bit. And not just him. You know, on the other side of the ball, Deshaun Hall was a beast also. So, you know, they're gonna get back to business, get back to doing what they do best. And you know, I see, you know, a beating like that being a good thing in some degree, because mm-hmm. it kind of makes you mad and, it, you know, definitely – you know, it doesn't set you back, but it gives you something you know you got to work on and get better.
I thought there were some moments in the game, we're talking about Jake Plummer, that there was some positive. The special teams, though, was not special. I sound like I'm piling on here, and I am to a degree because the expectations are so high. But I thought the defense did some good things, and I saw some flashes from the offense without Kalen Ballage.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. I think, you know, I wanted to see more because I think you got a quarterback in Bercovici that, you know, you're not using his skill set if you're throwing screens and bubbles and short patterns. You know, you want to see him, you know, working the pocket, working through a progression and throwing the ball downfield. I mean, that's what he did. That's what he did so well last year. It's what caused everybody to want him to be the man sooner than he should be. But now it's his chance. And I think that all goes around, all correlates back to just having protection. And, you know, everybody wants to point to the quarterback, but I've told you before, Brad, we're only as good as the sum of the parts around us, and I think that we saw that. When that team and that offense struggles to protect Bercovici, it's going to be a tough go. But I think, like I said, it's a wake-up call. It's a way to get back, you know, to know, hey, we're going to play some quality opponents. Nothing quite like Texas A&M, but USC, UCLA, you're going to find some guys that you better be ready for. So these next couple weeks are definitely a chance to get back at it and wipe away that bad feeling from the A&M game. And I think A&M is going to be a team that's going to be in the playoff talks also, just from what I saw on that defensive side of the ball. They were pretty impressive.
No, it's a huge time for Todd Graham, obviously, squarely on Todd Graham, to get this straightened out these next 2 weeks with Cal Poly and New Mexico before the SC and UCLA game. Let's switch over to U of A. So they lose Scooby Wright. Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year last season. It's early in the season. They don't have a bye week. In a strange sort of way, Jake, I talked with some people at the U of A about this, and they weren't sugarcoating it. If you're going to lose your best player, you better lose him early in the year before some of these non-conference games get finished up. And they don't have a bye. He's going to be fresh, they hope, by the end of the year. But it's a huge loss for U of A nonetheless, right?
Oh, definitely. That guy's a tone setter, not only for the defense, but that whole entire team. And a guy that makes a difference, makes plays, changes the way a game flows just because his disruptive abilities and the way he plays defense, as a quarterback, I hated those kind of guys because you had to account for them no matter where they were. But when he's on your team, you love them because they make big plays and they create opportunities for the guys around them to make big plays. So that whole defense is going to have to step up. They have some good quality players still, Matthews, Turituri, that can step up and assume some of that responsibility. But basically all 11 guys have to raise their level of play. And I think, whenever Scooby comes back, mm-hmm. that can end up being a positive thing if those guys have raised their level of play. Now you put him back in the mix and they're all playing at a greater clip. So, it's never great. It's never a great thing to lose one of, if not the best defensive player in the country to injury early. But hopefully he'll come back and have a speedy recovery and you'll get back in time for the big games, the Pac-12 games.
They have Nevada this weekend. What struck you about the Pac-12 just this opening this past weekend?
It was fun to watch. It was tough to see a few of those games. Washington State giving up a loss to Portland State, and then obviously Stanford didn't show up offensively when you were hoping to see some good things from them. But all in all, I think, we saw some great play from some quarterbacks. Rosen down in UCLA. I loved seeing Vernon Adams play. I liked watching him with the EWU Eagles, the past few years. But now in that Oregon system, I think they found the guy that can definitely come in and do what they want to do on offense. So, some good things came out of the pack. And I think, everybody wants to make a big deal about them not stepping up this first week of the season, and they did play some quality opponents. I think, a sleeper in the pack is Utah. They looked solid to me against Michigan, and a team that just does everything well on offense, defense, and special teams. So that's a team no one talks about much, but I think they're a sleeper to maybe not win at all, but to definitely be a burr in the side of some of these other projected favorites.
Good stuff, Jake. Appreciate the time as always. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Brad. You have a good one.
Good stuff there with Jake Plummer. And always good to catch up with Jake. Jake's going to be with us every week during the football season. And the thing about Jake is I'm not just going to talk to him about the college end of things. There's some weeks we'll bounce around and do some NFL stuff too. And just things in general. Jake's got a lot of interests other than just being a guy breaking down football games. But he does a terrific job with the Pac-12 Network coming into his second year. And I think he's really grown in that role. Notre Dame's president came out and said that he does not want his football program to be a developmental league for the NFL. So I'm bringing this story up because, guys, put yourself in the position of a top recruit. Top recruit is sitting there and Notre Dame is recruiting you. You get the letters, you meet with coach. But the president says, we don't want to turn this into a developmental league to get you into the NFL. And most of these players nowadays, they're thinking, well, I want to get to the NFL. The value of an education, if a kid is real and if the parents are realistic, then they understand what the chancellor is saying at Notre Dame. But unfortunately, most parents are nuts. And most parents think that their guys are going to go on. If they go to Notre Dame, then they're good enough to go to the National Football League. And they're going to get noticed. So I think that, I said chancellor, the president of Notre Dame, this is in the New York Times today. We just want to make sure we're not a developmental league for the NFL. Well, then I probably don't want to go play for you because I want to be in the National Football League. It's just the way it is. It's interesting thought on that front. All right, on the other side, we're going to talk more about the Cardinals and their opener against the Saints. We're going to talk about the TV show last night because we had our debut of the TV show, and it was a lot of fun. Had some great feedback off of it. If you're not aware, we're doing the TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. We're doing it again tonight, and we'll have some conversation about that and some things that are going on in my mind, too, today in the world of sports and also here locally as well on the sports scene. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. You can always find us on Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. It's been a big week for us. Do we have the show open, Jared, the TV show open? I don't, you know, I love throwing stuff at you after we just sat here during the break and chatted, but so we did the show open yesterday, or actually the show yesterday, the TV show for the first time. So nothing's changed. I've had people said, are you going to keep doing the stream show? Yeah, we're still going to be here because this is where it's at. And a lot of you guys check out the content at 8 o'clock at night. Just throw it in over me while I'm talking. It's fine. You know, we don't, this show was a lot of fun yesterday. Eric was stressed out of his mind. You were stressed out yesterday. You've never done TV before.
Yeah, yesterday and today.
Oh, get out of here. Monday, you're not stressed out today. Shut up.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Get
3 weeks from Monday.
Because it's, you know what? This show is nothing really different than what we do anyways.
If I go downstairs and all four of my tires are slashed, I'll know it's Jared Nielsen. I'll just know. Or Jared Cohen, because now I'm...
Are you fighting?
They used to like me, and now they hate me.
Are we having staff issues now over this show? Things I'm not aware of? Am I out of touch?
I mean, I know there's only like five of us, so you shouldn't be out of touch. We don't do corporate things around here. So
sure we do. I'll bring in donuts and coffee if you want. It's a corporate event. We can go play golf. I can get some golf lined up.
Nah.
The you know, the TV show yesterday, the content was fun. And the people at Fox, I don't know, did you see all the stuff that Fox did yesterday? It was like, wow, Brett Hansen and those guys, I got a nice note from Brian Hogan, their GM, after our first show. And I figured when I saw it was from him, it was, this show blows.
And congratulations, you got one show in, and now we're going to pull the plug.
Yeah, I mean, his first line was, this show blows. But that's what we want, you know? I don't want the same old tired stuff. I don't want to just do the things that everybody else is doing. No offense to them, that's just the world they live in. We don't have a whole bunch of rules here. So anyways, the show last night, they played it at 5:30. They played it right after the Diamondbacks game around 10. And then they played it at 1 a.m. And the 1 a.m. is one where you guys can DVR it. So when I hear it, well, I'm busy, I can't see it. That's what a DVR is for. Eric, you DVR stuff all the time, I think. You're one of those guys.
I DVR'd last night's show.
Did you watch it yet?
I did.
Yeah? What'd you think?
I think it's going to get better.
That's code for
it blew. I think it's
going to
get better. No. I mean, we text last night. I thought parts of it were really good and parts of it need some work, but it's just sort of like, it's a first show. So,
well, and here's
if our 10th show is just as good or bad as our first show, we're going to have some issues.
Well, but you know, there's people that will send me an email, and you can send me emails, and you can send them to Eric too. It's pretty simple. It's brad@sports360az.com. And Eric's is eric@sports360az.com. If you don't like something we do, then go away. No, I'm just kidding. If you don't like something that we do on the show, or there's a guest that you don't like, I don't know. I thought John Lynch yesterday was great. And today we've got Peter King on the show today. We've got Jake on today's TV show. And then we've got a really cool piece that Jordan Hamm did out at Chaparral High School on a kid that has been embraced by the football team and he can't play football. And it's one of those that when I saw it, you get moved to tears. It's one of those stories that you really like to see. So, yeah, I know that Colbert and Fallon opened up last night, and we're not competing with them. We're on at 10 o'clock. So at 1 a.m., we're not in that space, guys. I get it. It's just our little group having some fun. But if you want to check out the show, it's on again tonight. It's a new show. Somebody asked me, are you doing one show a week? No, I'm not doing one show a week. We're not mailing it in. We're not going to do that here. That's just not how we're wired. So there's entirely too much going on. But if you have story ideas, okay, please don't send me the email that says, my son is really good and you need to come out and do a piece on him. If you think that you have a good story, send me some video, okay, or give us a heads up and maybe we can get out to it. It doesn't matter where you're watching statewide in Arizona. Sorry, I'm not going to go over to Albuquerque to do a piece. Probably not going to go to Southern California unless your kid's being recruited by Arizona or Arizona State or there's a natural tie-in. And on the pro level, so we ran Fabiano in last night's TV show, and I had more feedback off that segment than even the John Lynch segment, because all you dudes are out there. There's 42 million plus Americans that play fantasy football, and it was free advice. All you had to do was watch. So I don't know. Should we do Fabiano every week in the TV show? I don't want this thing to be the same old stuff every week.
Maybe every other week.
You think?
Depending on how the
depending on how
the producer does getting guests.
Yeah, you're fine.
I know.
So, because I was whining on the TV show about my fantasy team not being any good, and I didn't draft him, but Fabiano broke down my fantasy team, which was great. On the Cardinals game on Sunday, it's Burkhart and Lynch that are doing the game, and then next week with the Bears, it's Charles Davis
and Tom Brenneman,
and Tommy's doing the game next week.
I've been told.
That's good. That's good. And the Pac-12 network game is this Saturday for ASU. I don't know. Do you know who's doing the game this week for the ASU?
You really asked me that.
Cal Poly game. I don't know who's doing
it. I haven't seen Pac-12 network since I was like 5.
Yeah,
no,
but you might
I don't know who it is. You know what? I think it's actually Lincoln Kennedy.
Is it Lincoln?
Yeah.
Well,
I
he'll
think
do
so.
A good job.
Of course.
Nobody will see it, but he'll do a good job. I might see it. I've got tickets to go to the game, and I've got really good seats, but I don't think it's on my priority list. I can sit at home in my man cave, my little man cave, and watch it with my little guy. So I think that's going on. And then the U of A game is on CBS Sports Network on Saturday afternoon, like at 4 o'clock. And you've got to search really hard to find that game if you're that big of a U of A fan. But because I do this and now I've got a TV show on top of it, I'll check it out. But if you guys have thoughts on the show and what you see, and even this show, very seldom do I sit here and ramble about what we're doing. We usually just bang it out, the content, day in and day out. But I think it's cool that we've got another platform and another place to put content out. And so we're always looking for more stuff that's out there. You know, I'll save the Cardinals stuff for the next segment. I did too much on the TV show there. We'll talk about the Cardinals game a little bit further. On the other side, I'm Brad Sussmat. So what happens on Sunday if the Cardinals get run over? Seriously, what happens if this offensive line, as bad as it looked in training camp, if we sit here on Sunday and they're ineffective? I mean, the expectations have been ratcheted up so high for this team that you'd have to look at it and say, if they struggle against the Saints team that's beat up on the defensive side of the football, if they're not able to score points against the Saints defense, its secondary is pretty much shredded, and they don't have Junior Gallette anymore, then what are they going to be like as the season progresses? I'm not saying it's panic time city if they fall to 0-1 out of the gate, but they should win this game, and they should win this game handily. They are better than what New Orleans has to offer. Drew Brees is a descending quarterback. He's not an ascending quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. But guys, you can't give me the, oh, well, this is going to be a real tough, tight football game. You could say that, but I think there's far more skill talent, especially at the receiver spot for the Cardinals against the depleted secondary for the New Orleans Saints. I really believe that. Hey, Patrick Peterson, this is a chance for you to show everybody back home that you're going to get off to a great start to this season. There's a lot of people that have said you're all that, so get off to a good start this season. You know better than that. Calais Campbell, you are one of the defensive stalwarts on this defense. You're the best player probably on this defense. And there's a lot of attention being put on you. And there's some question about, do you have enough to work with on that side of the football? Are there enough playmakers on the defensive front on that side of the football? So, you know, you put those things together, and then you look at the way that the rest of the schedule lays out here. The next 2 weeks, Saints, Bears, we should be talking about 2-0. I don't see any way, shape, or form that we shouldn't be talking about 2-0 coming straight out of the chute. The Bears are a team that have a new coach that bottomed out. They still have Jay Cutler. I think they're going to be 0-1 after the first week of the season. I know hope springs eternal for a lot of people, but in my opinion, 2-0 should be where we are. This should be a clean sweep weekend for the Arizona football teams. The Cardinals should win and win handily, unless their offensive line just isn't any good. If the offensive line plays well, they should win handily. U of A should win against Nevada, although I think that's going to be a tougher game than people talk about. ASU should win with ease in a game that'll end around midnight, 8 o'clock. Come on. But it's all about a Cardinal weekend here. You know, tonight, I'm going to watch Brady, and the ratings tonight should be amazing for this game. after all the buildup and all the hype around New England. But beyond that, is this the beginning of the end for the Patriots as a dynasty? Is this the beginning of the end of Tom Brady? That narrative has been out there over the last several years. And so watching them tonight for me will be one step. How a team performs in September is not indicative of how a team's going to look in November and December. The NFL is no longer about putting your best players out on the field for 16 straight weeks. There's going to be times where you maintain and manage. And I think that that's what the Cardinals the Patriots are in a space to do. The Cardinals are in that same sort of boat. I don't think Carson Palmer is going to play 16 games this season. I don't. But if he plays 12 or 13, they're going to be in great shape. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat.